Acts chapter 4, verse 23 through 31. When they were released, they went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they had heard it, they lifted up their voices to God and said, "Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and his anointed.
For truly in this city there were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks, Jennifer. So we've been kind of following the last couple of days, Peter and John. They heal a lame beggar. They kind of preach. They get into some trouble with the council. Then, of course, they're released from the council, and they're desiring to continue to be bold. But they keep kind of saying the worst thing, right? They keep kind of saying, Jesus, the one that is the anointed one of God, is the one that you have put to death. But of course, they continue to seek the Lord, that they would continue to talk like this and continue to exalt Christ, even in the face of persecution. So interesting little couple of chapters here. What are your thoughts on it?
Well, the first thing that struck me is just how they had this experience and they'd seen this happen to Jesus. And then of course they saw what happened to Jesus. And now they're experiencing it themselves with the same people who are opposed. And they're told to stop preaching, but it's like they just can't. And it's because they're so clear-eyed. Like they have such a clear vision now of what God has done and is doing. And that's one of my favorite things about Acts, how you see over and over they quote the Old Testament. And it's like you can almost just feel the wonder that all of this scripture that they have known their whole lives, seeing it fulfilled right before their very eyes, and then being so compelled to connect the dots for other people. They just can't not say it.
I like the clear-eyed. The New Testament has this idea, the Greek has this idea, mysterion. I think of it even like Ephesians 5, the mystery of marriage that's mm-hmm. now been revealed. And mysterion has that idea to it. This mystery of the age is revealed. It's mystery is not like Sherlock Holmes, there's clues and now we figure it out. It's sort of like that, but it's mysterion has more of a nuance of like things that were cloudy are now clear, right? Yeah. What was David talking about when he talked about the nations raging and plotting in vain against the Lord's anointed? Ah,
all right.
This is what David was talking about. You know, we looked a few days ago at even David in Psalm 110. The Lord says to my Lord, I will, make your enemies a footstool. Like, what is David talking about? His Lord, like who's David's Lord, and why is he looking at his offspring as his
Lord?
Lord, yeah. I see his offspring is the anointed one, is the Messiah, it's Jesus. I think that this is kind of again, is your point. They're clear eyed. They're seeing what God is doing, and to that point, when you do see what God is doing in the world. There's a certain boldness that comes, but they still seek boldness, right? They're still asking God to make them bold.
Right. I thought that was a great contrast between if you think about Peter's life and how many times he oversold himself to Christ and to others, like he was just naturally bold. But now he realizes you can see this wisdom in him that's not what this is. It's not just a personality, a willingness to speak. He recognizes that he needs help. And then to see that they immediately pray in this, and this is like a model prayer. They address God, the sovereign Lord, this Yahweh term, this covenant God, but also like he's creator God. You know what it reminded me of? You know, the little prayer when you were a kid, which God is great, God is good.
Yeah.
And it kind of just sounds like a simple rhyme, but that actually is it, isn't it? It's like God is great and yet he is good. And they have that very clear vision of him. And then they ask him for boldness to continue, not for safety and not even for judgment on their enemies. They just know that they're going to need his help to keep proclaiming the truth.
And God kind of shows them these there too. Now, this one's pretty obvious. The ground is shaken.
Yeah. Yeah.
The place was shaken where they were to gather together. But, you know, my experience, Jennifer, a lot of times in my life, I've prayed about something. I've desired something in the Lord. And it may not even be like the immediate fulfillment of that, but the Lord has shown me either through just the encouragement of another or the answer of a different prayer or something like that, mm-hmm. that like he's near and that he loves me.
Right.
And I do think that you see, I just would encourage Christians that are listening, and even like kind of here as we get into the new year, I think the more you pray, mm-hmm. the more you're kind of aware, oh, like the Lord is near and yeah. he's actually imminent. He's in my life. He does love me. He is answering my prayers. That's certainly been my experience. And
it's kind of an interesting way that like when they talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and I know in my own life, I oftentimes thought of this as like the Holy Spirit is almost like stuff, like you have a little bit of it, you need more, but obviously the Holy Spirit is a person.
Right.
So you have him when you have put your faith in Christ, like he dwells in you, but he gives you this full picture of him. It kind of reminds me of like being in love. Like when you're, you know, like when I first met Matt and we were just, I mean, like he filled every thought, right? Like everything you think about is in context of like Matt.
I mean,
he was perfect for me. So, but it's this idea that the Holy Spirit will make that real to you, almost going back to the clear-eyedness, like give mm-hmm. you even more clarity to realize that he is with you and that love grows and you're just filled with him. And it does fuel your faith and the works that flow from that.
That's good. That's good. That's a great word of encouragement. So for Jennifer McClish, I'm Jason Dees. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to Our Daily Rhythm. I'm Jason Dees, one of the pastors of Christ Covenant, and Our Daily Rhythm is a ministry of our church designed to help you more faithfully and effectively meditate on God's Word. If you ever have a question for us about one of our Bible readings or one of your own Bible readings, please don't hesitate to text us at 404-465-1737. Again, that's 404-465-1737, or email me directly at jason@christcovenant.com. We'll meet you again tomorrow for Our Daily Rhythm.